You are listening to the Pursuit of Manliness podcast, where we are vigorously equipping men to pursue biblical manliness. For more information about the Pursuit of Manliness or find out about the herd, make sure you visit thepursuitofmanliness.com. All right, man. Once again, we are out in the garage. It's a Friday. We're in Genesis chapter 42. I don't know how many of you actually go back and read the portions of scripture that we're covering in Out in the Garage. I would encourage you to read this portion because, one, I don't read it all to you naturally, but number two, I think it's just better. I think it's one thing to hear. Hopefully you don't hear my voice when you're reading it, but it's one thing to hear it or try to unpack it on a podcast like this, but I think it's another thing for you to actually read it yourself and put yourself in the position of the people that are within this text. This is where Joseph's brothers are going to go to Egypt. They're out of food. And it says in verse 1, when Jacob learned that there was grain for sale in Egypt, he said to his sons, "Why do you look at one another?" Now, I want to pause for a moment. And this is a really messy chapter. I've shared a number of times. I was a children's pastor for a long time. I don't know how often we got into this portion of the text, really got into it. Because I think you could talk about it on the surface, but you need to dig just a little bit deeper. It's one thing to look at this and say, a father said to his sons, "Why do you look at one another? There's food, why don't you go get it?" Here, it's another thing to understand this. One, in this text, Jacob is acting like Jacob and not Israel. He's not acting like a father of a nation. He's not acting like a guy who's been given time and time again a covenant promise from God. He's not acting like a guy who wrestled with God and prevailed and got God's blessing. He's not acting like that guy. We know that because when he sends his son to Egypt, sons, plural, to Egypt, he remains there. He's old. He's tired. I get that. There's perks of getting older. But he keeps Benjamin behind as well. Benjamin's his favorite. He had two. He's down to one. And the one is Benjamin. He said, "I'm going to send my boys to Egypt. I don't trust that they'll come back. They're probably still doing some knucklehead things. So maybe he's like, I don't want Benjamin to be under their influence. Maybe he believes his influence is better than their influence." It's a toss-up at this point from what we know of everyone. But clearly still showing favoritism. Clearly still showing a lack of faith in God. And he's raised some sons, evidently, who do not have a lot of initiative. And I want to pause there for a moment because these are not 17-year-old boys. Okay, these are grown men. They might be the age of you. So imagine you living on some kind of compound with, you know, 10 other brothers or sisters or cousins or whatever you got with your families, your wife, your kids, whatever. These are men with children, okay? And they're standing around looking at each other. Why do you look at one another? They're all going, "I don't know. I don't know." You know, we did that podcast a couple weeks ago about Elijah talking to, you know, all the people who supposedly believed in God. He said, "If God is God, then you say that. But if he's not, then say that." And they said nothing. A bunch of mute men. Well, right now, what Jacob has done is he's raised some men who have become mute. They were not always mute. Remember, they've taken matters in their own hands. Were given the circumcision. Were killing people. Were, you know, they're not always been this way. Forever, whatever reason, in this situation, when there is no food, they're all sitting around looking at each other. In the United States of America, in my time, in my generation, I was born in the 70s to today. So we're looking at about a 5-decade window there. I don't recall a time when there was no food available. There's been less food. It's been scarce. It's been hoarded, but not necessarily a famine to this degree. Not that this doesn't happen across the world, but we haven't had it like this. If there was no food, what would you do? Hopefully you'd be proactive. As a provider, you say, "I need to find some food. I need to figure out where the food is. I need to, and I get it. There is a severe famine, but I'm talking to you and I, It's 2022 when we're having this conversation. So you would say, I need to figure out some food, right? I need to figure out how to get the things we need to have so that we can survive. And not only that, they're all living together. So you're not getting a hamburger, naturally. You're going to have to get about 40 hamburgers. You know, so I get it. It's substantial. But standing around looking at each other, it's like a men's circle saying, who wants to pray? And they all look at each other's feet. They're hoping someone else will do it. They want someone else to figure out the food situation. Jacob says, you need to go. So they go into Egypt. They're going to go there. And lo and behold, they run into Joseph. They don't recognize Joseph. Joseph doesn't sound like Joseph. Joseph certainly doesn't look like Joseph. They would have made Joseph, and I say they, the Egyptians, when he's serving under Pharaoh, they would have made him look like a Pharaoh. He would have been probably full Egyptian garb, probably some makeup. I would imagine his dialect has changed dramatically. I think it's human nature. If you're in an area for a period of time, you kind of pick up on how they talk and maybe not even recognize it. I'm not talking like Brian Kelly going down to Baton Rouge. That's what I get for making fun of Brian Kelly. Baton Rouge, Louisiana for 16 minutes and turn into Cajun Crawdad. And I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about you're going to say some words. You're going to maybe pronounce things a certain way. You're going to maybe change the way you form some sentences. Well, naturally, if you're going to serve under a Pharaoh, you're going to have to talk and act like a Pharaoh. Well, here comes the sons, his brothers. They all show up and they're looking to buy food, and Joseph reads them the riot act, man. I mean, he's like, you're spies. You're trying to spy out the land. You're trying to expose us. I mean, he's just they're thinking, what is going on, man? We were better off standing around looking at each other with nothing to eat. Now we come here and we got this guy. I mean, he's fixing on killing us here. I mean, he just, and they don't recognize him. He recognizes them. I would imagine there's probably some mannerisms. He's like, man, that guy still does that. Those guys still act that way. I remember, goodness, I think I was in elementary school thinking one time that, you know, there were some kids that were just driving me crazy. I think, you know, when they become grownups, you know, that maybe they won't act that way. And thankfully, when I became a grown-up, I stopped acting some of the ways I act in elementary school. Not everybody does that. Not everybody grows up. Not everybody shakes those behaviors. Some people keep the same mannerisms, the same attitudes, the same responses their whole life because they think it's fine. Like they have no self-awareness. Well, I would imagine these guys living together, working, they're not taking, like, you know, better yourself classes or anything. So you do what you do. It's survival mode. And you see that as you go through this text, that they turn into survival mode. They go back to the chain reaction. You said we did, we should have, we didn't. And all of a sudden, as Joseph just keeps laying it on him, you know, they're talking to each other. They're in a little sidebar here going, man, I knew it. I knew it when we sold him into slavery. You saw the look on his face. We're being punished for this. And they're trying to tell him, hey, we're honest men. You know, there was 12 of us. One of them's with our dad, and one of them is no more. They don't realize they're standing in front of Mr. No More. They don't realize where you're at is in the presence of no more. But we're honest men. Joseph, I bet he would love to just say, let me tell you how honest you are. And he will do that. Joseph will do that, and many of you know the text, and that's why I said in the very beginning, I would encourage you at some point, if you find any benefit from this conversation whatsoever, at some point, go back to Genesis 42 and read it for yourself. It's messy. It's messy. And as I thought about this text and I thought about this podcast, I almost thought, why don't we skip it? It's awfully complicated. Again, there's like on stage, off stage, all this stuff going on. Why don't we just skip it? And next week, we just kind of couple them together because next week they're coming back to Egypt. We could almost just do a 2-for-1. But that's not what we're doing here. To the best of our ability, when the conditions are right or favorable, or I don't know what I'm trying to say, when we can, we're going to have this conversation because I think we need to have it. Because what happens here is Joseph's going to put his brothers into jail. He's going to hold them there for 3 days. Now, I know when we see things like this in Bible, we want to connect it. There's a typology here, right? There's a messianic preview of what's, you know, going to happen. Maybe. I don't want to go too far that way yet. I know we got Jonah, you know, in the belly of the great fish for, you know, 3 days, and Jesus referenced Jonah. Jesus didn't reference the brothers in the jail, although there is something, I think, connected to this. And here's why I want you to read the text. In that jail, there's 10 brothers, and a couple of them we know better than others. A couple of them get a few more lines than the others. You learn a lot about them when you get to the end of this book, when Jacob starts doling out the blessings. You're reminded of some things, and you learn some things, and you're like, oh, okay. And don't forget, from all of this mess is going to come the 12 tribes of Israel, who seemingly still take on those personalities, don't they? 400, 500, you know, 2,000 years later, these tribes are still kind of representing what we saw here in the book of Genesis. But one of the individuals there in that group is Judah. And we're going to talk a whole lot more about Judah as we begin to wind down the rest of this. We have a handful of weeks left. We're going to talk a lot about Judah. Because if we're not careful, as we look at this story, it's all about Joseph. What did Joseph get? What were his dreams about? Why is he being sold? Why is he in Potiphar's house? Where is he at now? Oh, he's in jail. He's not in jail. He gets to be kind of like number two in jail. Oh, he's interpreting dreams. He tells the guys, they forget him. He gets to stand in front of Pharaoh. Oh, yeah, I forgot that guy. Yeah, cupbearer. Oh, my bad. And he gets to come up, and then Pharaoh's like, hey, great. Here's a ring. Here's a deal. Here, everything's about Joseph. But listen, this story isn't about Joseph. And I say that because we need to remember our story isn't about us. I don't believe for a second that doing Out in the Garage is about me. If I could do this without video, especially video, I definitely would do that. I think it's about something else. I think it's about getting the gospel and getting this text, if you will, to as many places as we can get it. It's not about me. I don't ever anticipate someone watching one of these videos or listening to the podcast and saying, you are such an articulate teacher. That's never going to happen. You've heard me speak. No one's ever going to say, you are just a wordsmith. You are just a master of the English. Like, no. No one's ever going to say, well, your presence is captivating. No, that's probably not going to happen either. I don't have good lighting. I do weird things. No, it's not about me. But I don't ever want to do anything to get in the way of the message that we're trying to deliver here. I believe this is about somebody who's going to listen to this or watch this who needs to be reminded of this or will come in contact with this for the very first time. You know, people all the time get on these like rabbit trails on YouTube and stuff, and they're like, man, I was doing this and this and this. I had a guy on the podcast that was saying that. Remember that one time? He was talking about, you know, he was on to, you know, watching some weird, I think it was archaeology video or something. Next thing you know, a video pops up, is the Bible true? Next thing you know, he goes out and goes and finds his Bible. Next thing you know, he's been reading it, and you know, he's a guy. He was married to a guy. I believe they get divorced. It's a whole thing. Now he's single guy trying to serve Jesus. From a YouTube video? Man, God will use anything. And in the midst of this jail, there's a guy named Judah. And what we're going to realize is, in all the chaos, and all the mess, and all the stuff going on, God is raising up Judah to take a stand, to kind of separate himself from the pack. That's why I'm such a believer in it. It doesn't matter how you were raised. It doesn't matter the culture, the climate, the environment. It doesn't matter the country. It doesn't matter the demographic. It doesn't matter. Because in the midst of everything, God is working on your heart. He is constantly chasing you, relentlessly pursuing you, building you. I mean, if we'll just surrender to Him. And I believe in the midst of all of this, God is doing something quite remarkable in the life of a man named Judah. I would love to know if Judah and his wife and kids are having, you know, any kind of conversation. Like, what are they talking about? Because as we get further into this, Judah's going to separate himself from the pack and say, you know what? I'm not going to live like this anymore. Doesn't matter what we've done, where we're from. It doesn't matter whatever blessing we think we get from God. We're starving to death. Someone has to do something. And in the before that gets to that point, here's Judah sitting in a jail thinking, huh, maybe this is the consequences. You know, I don't know. Maybe we had to go through this stuff. I don't know. He doesn't know what's on the other side of this jail. He doesn't know if he's going to get out of the jail. But in the midst of the messiness, in the midst of the chaos, in the midst of the dysfunction of the family, in the midst of just the dire situations, in the midst of this ruler who is Joseph, in the midst of this ruler who is just like oppressing, I don't think Judah takes his eyes off of God. There's nothing in the ink about that. But what I can tell is there's going to come a point where Judah says, okay, somebody has to do something. And we've said it before, someone has to go first. And maybe that's the takeaway today. God's doing something in you. I don't know how you came across this. I don't know if you're a subscriber or not. I don't know if someone shared it and you're going to check it out. I don't know. But I believe God's doing something in you. I believe he's doing something in me. And he's preparing us for something else. Now, the challenge will be not to try to outrun God. The challenge will be to not make it about me. The challenge will be to not take my eyes off of what he's going to do and what he is currently doing right now. And I think that's probably the challenge for you as well. Amen. I want to leave you with this. Take a couple moments. It's a little bit longer. It's 36 verses. And read Genesis chapter 42. Amen. I'll talk to you in a bit. Once again, thank you for listening to the Pursuit of Manliness podcast. If you would, make sure you visit iTunes and leave a 5-star review. Again, for more information or find out more information about The Herd, visit thepursuitofmanliness.com.